name is Marielle, and I am the founder of Travel Experiences Reimagined, the podcast for travel enthusiasts, wanderlusts, and adventure seekers, craving to learn more about tours and excursions from all over the world through the eyes of a new tour guide or host each episode. Hi, everyone. When you think of the Big Easy, does New Orleans come to mind? Do you also think of the live jazz music, Bonnets, the French Quarter, and French Creole? Would you ever consider going on a walking tour with a professional jazz player who can give you access to those really fun, cool jazz venues that you've been itching to go to? I am honored to have on Quay, founder of Big Easy Walking Tours, based in New Orleans, Louisiana, where he combines his love of jazz music into a walking tour, where he takes people to around 4 to 5 different venues throughout New Orleans to experience the live jazz music. Welcome, Quay. Did I miss anything?
No, that was an amazing opening. Wow.
Well, thank you very much. Very excited to have you on. I love to start off every episode with a bit of your background. Have you always lived in New Orleans? Have you lived in other places, other jobs that you've had? Just to give the listeners a little bit more of an idea about you.
Yeah, I came to New Orleans on a jazz scholarship. I'm originally from Tucson, Arizona, and I came to New Orleans specifically for music. I grew up in a very musical home. I had gospel music every hour of the day. I was expected to sing at church, and I came to New Orleans as a saxophone player, really, really just trying to learn more about music, but I kind of fell in love with the city along the way, you know?
Hey, I hear ya. I've been to New Orleans once, and it is such a vibrant, fun, exciting city. And the thing that I loved about New Orleans, which I know we're going to talk a lot about today, was that live music, right? The energy there is electric. It's something I've never experienced before. And it was just a really cool, I want to say vibe, energy. It just was really fun. You just go there knowing you're going to have a really good time. And so staying there, right, as being a professional jazz player, how long have you been doing this for? Do you still do this today?
Yeah. I mean, this is I'm a musician, full time, other than, of course, my business. But, my passion is music. And I came to New Orleans when I was 18. And I got to study with a lot of great jazz musicians at University of New Orleans, like Edward Peterson, Evan Christopher, and Steve Masakowski. And, for the past, I would say, since I was maybe about 19, I was actually playing gigs. I think my first gig in New Orleans was literally with Delphio Marcellus. And I kind of have a funny story regarding Delphio and kind of learning how serious the music of jazz was. I remember one night I didn't want to practice. I literally was like, I'm the best sight reader in the world, and I'm just going to come to this gig at Snug Harbor and just play. Have you ever heard of big band music before?
A little bit, but give me a little bit of history, and also the listeners might want to know as well.
Sure. So when you think about big band music, the band I was playing with there was called the Uptown Jazz Orchestra, and Delphio has a band probably around 15 people in the big band. It's probably about 5 saxophones, 5 trombones, 5 trumpets. And it's some of it is a lot of reading off of music charts off, you see sheet music. So I literally get to that gig and I was just going to read the sheet music, maybe play a couple solos and get paid and go home. But I get to a part of a song where it's called the saxoli. And I'm going to try to emulate what a saxoli sounds like. It sounds like do ba dum da ba dum da ba dum do. Okay. And then I played it and I destroyed it. It was so bad, like the band almost stopped. And I remember Delphio pulled me aside after the gig. I thought I was going to get fired, but he was like, hey, Quay, if you don't want to practice, you might as well work at McDonald's. So I was like, wow, this is okay. This is serious stuff. So I remember from there, I literally put a calendar up every day. I'd practice 5 hours a day and just work at things I essentially sucked at,
Wow. That's just pure dedication. And I think sometimes we have to go through mistakes, right? And I think especially at 18, 19, 20, we think, oh, we're fine. We're invincible. We got this. But when you hear something like that, it's almost, I don't want to say a stab to the heart, but it's a reality check, right? To say, okay, I can be better than this. I can do better than this. And I'm glad that you had a mentor who pulled you aside and gave you such valuable advice at such a young age, which look at where you are today, you know? So I think that's unbelievable. And again, you've just learned a lot. So that's amazing. I do want to get into Big Easy walking tours, right? What was your aha moment to combine going to jazz venues and a walking tour based out of New Orleans?
So the idea was that there was no other tour like this. You know, I'm considered a millennial. I am 33 years old. I kind of have a short, you know, time frame I could focus on things. And I just remember working at a, it's called like a tourist information center in New Orleans in the French Quarter. You'll probably see them if you come here. You'll see it says tourist information center. And essentially you go there, you know, to find out more information about New Orleans, but essentially what it is selling tours. And I worked there in about 2017. And I remember some days I'd make $0. And I remember one day I just like literally got in my head. It's like, what if I start my own tour that is something different and nobody else is doing? It kind of combines different ideas, history, music, and drinks. And I kind of just went through there. I kind of started obsessing about it for a couple months. And every day I'd wake up and try to put that into motion, you know?
Hey, it's a hustle and it's a grind. But what I love what you did, and I think a lot of listeners listening to this, I also have tour guides and tour operators listening as well, or anybody interested in becoming a tour guide or tour operator, it's to think of your market the way you did. Knowing that there are so many incredible tourism companies and agencies, but you found a niche that was different, that, you know, almost like a untapped market in a crazy way. Yeah. You found that hidden connection between these jazz venues, which I'm really excited to get into, but also giving the tours of them, right? So I want to talk a little bit about logistics here. I want to talk about how often do you offer these tours? How long are they? How many people? Give me a little bit of a rundown of not just your jazz tour, but I guess a summary of your more popular tours.
Sure. I would say my currently the Frenchman Street Live Music Pub Crawl is probably the most popular. Probably within since COVID, it has kind of exploded on all of our offerings. Now, the Frenchman Street Live Music Pub Crawl is one of three tours we offer. We also offer a ghost and haunted pub crawl, as well as a citywide driving tour. The citywide driving tour is at 1 p.m. The ghost tour is at 5 p.m. And the Frenchman tour is at 7 p.m.
Is this daily or is this particular days?
It's particularly between Thursdays and Mondays. I think prior to COVID, I was trying to do it every day because I was like so fascinated that people wanted to hang out with me. And I was like, okay, but I realized that I needed to rest a little bit. And I've decided to take off those Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Those are somewhat the slower times here in New Orleans, those Tuesdays and Wednesdays. But we go Thursday through Monday pretty steady.
That's great. And that's good to note too. And first of all, everybody needs a break, right? Whether you work a 9-to-5, you work for yourself, which is even harder, I feel, when you work for yourself. And you seem like a really cool guy, by the way. So just getting to know you, I can imagine people wanting to be around your energy. And so something I have to ask, right? I went to New Orleans a couple years ago, actually a couple months before COVID. I unfortunately had a short weekend because it was a friend's wedding, which was amazing, but I wish I could have explored New Orleans more. But one of the things I tried to do was go to a jazz venue. And I walked into one, right? I stayed for about a half hour. It was a really good time, but I was just on time constraints. What's the biggest difference between me, right, or anybody going to a jazz venue and checking it out and saying, okay, this is cool, versus going with somebody like you who is a professional jazz player and who probably has the connections and knows the people in each of these venues?
Sure. I think most of this really comes from just personal experience. You know, even though I play jazz myself, I like to go listen to music too. And I really thought about, man, sometimes I get kind of overwhelmed with trying to find the music, and sometimes I don't know where to go. I may know the name of the band, but I don't know what they sound like. And then I get there and I don't really like the band. So the big difference is that we've kind of crafted this in a way that we know from 7 to 10, the venues we go to are going to have kind of a wide array of different types of music. That's going to be traditional jazz, of course, New Orleans jazz. We think about Louis Armstrong as traditional jazz. They also call it Dixieland, of course. But then you have other types of music. People forget the idea that New Orleans had its had a big place in the creation of early R&B and funk music. So there's tons of even, you know, R&B and funk music here. I think one of the most famous artists people know of New Orleans that was in R&B was Mr. Fats Domino. And then one of my other favorite bands is called The Meters. That kind of music you'll get from jazz to funk. And then we kind of try to find modern stuff. There's lots of hip hop and modern jazz on Frenchman. You know, why would somebody want to right next door play hip hop next to a jazz venue? Well, we're in 2022. People's idea of music has changed. Sometimes they like jazz, and the next day they want to hear rap music. It's really like that. You know?
I agree. I think there's, you know, before the .com, right? I think people knew about certain kinds of music, maybe based on location, maybe based on the people they hung around. But nowadays, in the year 2022, and I'm sure and beyond, we have things like Spotify, Apple Music, things of that nature, where you can find any kind of music, any time of day, anywhere, and you can expose yourself to so much. So I was actually going to ask about misconceptions of New Orleans if, you know, jazz was the only thing. So I am glad you mentioned that. But I want to go back, segue to your tours for a second. When we talk about this particular tour, your jazz crawl tour, how long are you in each venue, right? Are you in there for like 20, 30 minutes? Are you in there for an hour? If it's a 3-hour tour, right, how long are you allowing to be in these places? And when you're in them, what do you like? How can somebody prepare and, you know what they're going to get into with this? Is it just listening to the music? Is it, you know, hearing you talk? Like, what are some of the things that they can expect?
Sure. So we make a good idea to make sure the first 15 minutes of the tour, people get the order of the night, meaning kind of setting expectations. If you don't kind of set those expectations, they're kind of wondering or what's going to happen. They may even have their own expectations, but once you tell them what's going to happen, they can, it goes pretty smoothly. But the idea is to make sure you have enough time in the venue to maybe enjoy one or two drinks and listen to a good amount of each concert. And I say my idea of listening to a musician probably is about 15 to 20 minutes. And then after that, I lose concentration sometimes. So I've noticed that people's concentration typically lasts around that 20-minute time frame. I also wanted to add that, it's easier to enjoy something when you're dancing. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. If you are in a music venue and you're dancing to the music, an hour could seem like 10 minutes.
1,000,000%. I've gone to more than enough music festivals in my life, literally throughout the world. And I can tell you when you're standing there, it's cool. But when you're dancing and you're just in the moment, there's something really special about that, that you don't even care what the weather is. You don't care how you look. You're just there to have a really good time. And so I guess to your point, right, is it dependent on the energy? If people are dancing, if the crowd is a bit more, I don't want to say standoffish, but if they just want to hang out and chill, do you redirect them to other places to catch their attention? Or I want to know how you, like, do you structure it that way? Or are they all kind of the same?
It really depends on the group we may have. Sometimes groups are less energized than others. Sometimes they just want to sit and listen to music. You have to, understand when people come to New Orleans, they walk a lot. And by 7 o'clock at night, sometimes people are tired.
Sure.
Walking. And we make sure to tailor the experience to each group and make sure everybody has something for them. You know?
Sure. And I also wanted to clarify this too. Are these tours public or private? And what's your max capacity that you have in terms of people?
Tours can be private. I personally started doing tours as a private tour guide. So maybe that's why my experience is more towards tailoring things towards people, because I love doing private tours. Our group tours go up to 28 people. That's what the city of New Orleans says you're legally allowed to go up to. Typically, they're not that big. I would say the typical size anywhere from 10 to 20 people.
That's fair. I think that's a good enough size, right, depending on the group, because it's not too much where you're screaming, but it's not too little where at least somebody has someone to talk to. So yeah. I love that. But I really want to get into the jazz scene in New Orleans because, again, I know I mentioned this earlier, but what I loved about New Orleans visiting was just all the music around and people on the streets playing and just playing with their heart, you know, like their heart on their sleeve. And so explain to me the jazz scene there today, right? I think people can look back on history of it, but today, what can a tourist expect when they go there when it comes to music? I know, again, my experience was seeing it a bit on the streets and going to a jazz venue, but what should people look out for when it comes to the jazz scene or authenticity? I'd love to hear some of your thoughts around that.
Well, I like to say I thank the musicians that have came before me. There's so many amazing musicians that have came out of New Orleans, whether it's jazz musicians or even brass bands. People really don't understand when they come to New Orleans how big brass band music is. Like one example of a brass band would be Rebirth Brass Band, Grammy Award winning Rebirth Brass Band. You also have Hot 8 Brass Band and Dirty Dozen Brass Band. That music is the type of music you hear at second lines that typically happen on Sundays in New Orleans. And I'd say the music scene here is so such a big pot of different type of musicians. You have, of course, the musicians from New Orleans, but then you have a lot of musicians from all over the world that come here just to play music. So like I tell people, New Orleans is just a melting pot of different types of genres and musicians. But number one, I think the musicians that are here in New Orleans take this so seriously. I think we forget to understand that there's not many places like New Orleans where, you know, if you were to go to some other city in America, it'll be very, very hard for you to play shows every single day of the week. In New Orleans, we live a great life because if we wanted to play, we could literally just go on the street in the French Quarter and play with somebody. And it's a really cool atmosphere.
I love that. And I guess another thing, can anybody play on the street there or do you need a permit? I've always been very intrigued by this. So I don't know how that works.
You know, it's a little bit of a funny thing. I think that they have been trying to change different ordinances and things for sound wise. I think that you can literally just set up on a certain street. The most popular street where you find street musicians is Royal Street. And you'll see musicians like Miss Doreen. Miss Doreen is one of the most amazing clarinet players in the world. And every day at 11 in the morning, she'll be in front of the Rouses on Royal Street. And, you know, she's amazing. But I think if you, you know, me as a musician, I'd have never gotten a permit or needed any permit. You know, right now, if I wanted to go play on the street, I'll just skip my horn, go out there and ask people, hey, you want to play? I used to play every day on the corner of Bourbon and Canal. That's how I really got my chops better, playing with a lot of the brassman cats, the young cats, like TBC Brass Band. And at the time, I was playing with a band called Free Spirit Brass Band. And I'd just be out there sweating all day, playing brass band music. And it was like some of the best times of my life.
Wow. That's an amazing story too, because I think a lot of times when you are on the street, right, I think people can either judge and be really mean or people can really be wowed and amazed. And the fact that you were able to build such a successful career from this, from like, I almost want to say not nothing, but to start your career and build it in New Orleans, right? What a magical thing to say. Cause to your point, I don't think a lot of places have that magic of New Orleans. Otherwise, it wouldn't be New Orleans, right? So I think that's amazing. I do want to go into some of the venues, right? Because there are the quote unquote touristy venues in New Orleans for, you know, seeing jazz. And then I'm sure there's plenty of hidden gems. I'd love for you to talk about maybe two touristy places and two hidden gems, and maybe with a little bit of an explanation as to why somebody should or should not go to a touristy place, and then vice versa, why someone should or should not go to a less touristy known place.
Okay. You're talking about music venues?
Yes. Any music venue, whether it's related to jazz or even to hip hop and R&B, like you've mentioned before.
Sure. I'm sure when you came here, you heard about Preservation Hall.
Yes. yes.
And to be honest with you, they're right for going there. The cats that play there are the most amazing cats in the world. You have like Mr. Kevin Lewis, Brandon Lewis on trumpet. Those cats are amazing. But that's more, you know, you have that side of it where you have the touristy part of the quarter. But then if you want to venture out like an off-beaten path, I actually play every Thursday at Vaughn's Lounge in the Bywater of New Orleans. It's funny about right before COVID, I actually shot a video with Lil Wayne there. And I tell people it's pretty cool to be a superstar if I imagine to be him, because I was there at 8 a.m. and I was there for about 8 hours, and he shows up at about 2:00 in the afternoon, stays for 30 minutes and then leaves. What a great life.
Wow. I can't even imagine that.
Yeah. So Vaughn's Lounge is a great place. I also say to people, one of my favorite off the beaten path places to hear some traditional jazz is a place called the Palm Court. That's on Decatur Street. And it's kind of an old school. Imagine if you were listening to jazz in the, you know, 20s, 30s, or 40s. Just the layout of the place, how the stage is situated, how they serve you, and how the tables are prepared. You kind of have some nostalgia there. And then they're playing some of the best traditional jazz in the world at the same time. And not a lot of people know about it. I kind of have to point people out to Palm Court unless you do a lot of research before you come to New Orleans.
Thank you for sharing that. I love to invoke the hidden gems and release them to the world, right? I know they're hidden, but I love to find out about them because I learn something new just as much as the listeners. But I do want to ask you one question, because a lot of times I do have some listeners internationally. When you say the cats, right? When you talk about, you know, oh, the cats in that venue, explain to me, do you know where this came from, or, you know, why you say that? I mean, I love the term, first of all. I love it.
Jazz lingo.
Is that jazz? What other jazz lingo can people learn and know about?
Okay, well, the cats just mean the musicians you see in the band around. That's the, you know, I think that came out way before my time, even my grandmother's time. That was probably Louis Armstrong's time. They was talking about, oh, look at that cat. He sounds so good over there, you know? And so you got that. And then, you know, if you ever hear a jazz musician talk about he practices, he'll talk about he goes into the shed, you know? And that really comes from Charlie Parker. Charlie Parker was the alto saxophone player we believe invented bebop, you know, back right after the war. World War II. And at one point in time, it said that he was terrible. He couldn't play at all. He was a really bad saxophone player, even though he wasn't that bad. But apparently he was like, okay, I need to practice. So he literally went to the back of his house in a shed and stayed in that shed for a whole year. And when he came out, he was amazing. He was literally invented bebop with Dizzy Gillespie and all them.
Wow. That's very interesting. Makes me want to ask you another question. So I feel a lot of people think they know things about New Orleans and about the jazz venues and the jazz culture. Is there anything that you'd like to address about, I'm going to say, the jazz venues, jazz culture in New Orleans that people may not be aware of? Or just, again, I'm sure you teach something new on every tour, but for the listeners, I'd love to know any fun fact or two that you have that would really surprise people.
When it comes to like the music you hear, you know, nowadays you have these things, you know, you have second lines. People always asking about, oh, I want to see a second line. And when you think about what a second line is, basically a parade. It just means you're second in line to the band. And people traditionally think of that as like a jazz funeral, which it is. That's the name of the second line it comes from. But I want people to know that they literally have real second lines on Sundays, and there's a second line season. So when you come to New Orleans, before you come here, research if there's a second line, and you can actually find that on the radio station WWOZ, and it's called Back to the Streets. And you can literally view a second line. And if you see a second line, it will change your whole life, because people are dancing, they're dancing, they're doing what's called buck jumping, and they're moving their feet so fast, you want to learn to do that kind of dance yourself, you know?
I'm sure. I'm not very coordinated, but I'm sure I'd love to learn from other people, or even just see the energy of other people dancing. It just, how can you not be happy? How can you not have endorphins? How can you not get excited about that? So thank you for mentioning that. Oh, I do want to ask you one other thing too, because people love the Jazz Festival. I believe it's end of May. No, excuse me. End of April, early May. It is become this huge thing. I feel so many people fly to New Orleans, which, not saying they don't fly for Mardi Gras or other things, but of course, talking about a jazz tour, I want to bring up Jazz Festival. Is it worth going to? Is it worth the hype? Is it overrated? I'd love to hear some of your thoughts, you know, because you're just a professional. No big deal.
Oh, man. I think Jazz Fest is bigger than Mardi Gras.
Really? Wow. That's a bold statement.
They have people that are so obsessed with Jazz Fest. For example, they got people that there's a certain way they dress. They call them Jazz Fest dads. And there's a way you have like kind of a almost like a Hawaiian shirt with these khaki shorts.
Really?
And that's the Jazz Fest dad attire. That's how you go to Jazz Fest. So it's like it's such a big thing because, you know, over the years, I think people associate New Orleans with Jazz Fest. It's one hand in hand. All the musicians that play all year round, you know, what we do is we kind of look forward to Jazz Fest. Like I literally, you know, when it comes the first of the year, January 1st, I'm like, oh man, Jazz Fest is a couple months away, you know, and it's like Christmas to me because I literally get 2 weeks full of amazing music. I can, you know, play in, and I can go see other great musicians too play there. And then also when you're playing at these stages, they have these Jazz Fest sandwiches. And, you know, I love those Jazz Fest sandwiches, by the way.
What is a Jazz Fest sandwich? Are you talking about a food, or are you talking about like people like smushing against each other?
It's like, okay. So like if you're an artist at the Jazz Fest, so that, you know, you have the trailers and stuff in the back of the stages, and you walk into the trailer and they got food and drinks for you. But then if you look behind the drinks, they're going to have these Jazz Fest sandwiches. And it is the most delectable, delicious thing you've ever tried in your life.
Now, what's in them? Gotta know.
Oh, yeah. You got the ham. You got the roast beef. You got the turkey sandwiches. They're just amazing. I want you to really just think about how amazing that is.
Wow, that's intense, but I'm sure that's delicious. And speaking about food and drinks, I looked through your website, which, first of all, it's a great website. I love how simple it is. I love how you explain who you are, what you offer, and really a good description about your tours. I know through your pub crawl, one of the things you mentioned is a New Orleans signature cocktail. Now, I know people, I feel, drink anything in New Orleans. You can hold a drink, from my understanding, on the street. People just drink anything, anytime, anywhere. But I'd love to know, what are some of these signature cocktail drinks that if I'm in New Orleans, like this is the drink, or drinks, I should say, that I need to have?
Sure. I'd say number one is the Sazerac. You know, at one point in time here in New Orleans, this drink called the Sazerac had tons of absinthe in it. And if you can imagine in the 1800s, people walking around literally hallucinating all day long. So by like the 1940s, they, I guess, thought that was a terrible idea. So they decided to switch this large amount of absinthe with kind of a rye whiskey called the Sazerac rye whiskey. And that essentially that drink was made famous at the Roosevelt Hotel in the CBD here in New Orleans. And that drink is more of like a whiskey sipping drink. It has a very strong kind of smell and taste to it. But it's very, very New Orleans that really started from the 1940s. Another drink that came out of that era around the 1940s was a drink called the Pimm's Cup. And it's typically a cucumber-based drink. And it, of course, it's used this British Pimm's liquor. You would essentially use that liquor with the kind of a refreshing cucumber. And it's a very, very refreshing drink. That drink really has been made famous from the Napoleon House on Charters and St. Louis Street in the French Quarter. Now, the Napoleon House is named after Napoleon. Napoleon was supposed to come to New Orleans while he was in exile. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. So what they began to do is use that Napoleon House as the house for the first mayors of New Orleans. That first mayor was Mayor Girard in the early 1800s. And to this day, they make this Pimm's Cup drink at the Napoleon House. So what I try to do during our tour is kind of give people an idea of some of the best drinks New Orleans has created over the years. Our bartenders at my favorite venue that we start with is called BMC. It's called Balcony Music Club. The bartender there makes the guests a drink. But what they do is they teach them how to make the drink. So it's like a quick mixology class right when the tour begins. They explain to them what the ingredients are and how they can make it at home. We kind of encourage them to video it so they could essentially make it when they get home. And then from there, we get the drink and we go straight to the dance floor.
That's so fun. And talk to me about your pub crawl for a second. How many stops do you had? How many drinks are included? Sure. Just again, to give listeners an idea of how drunk they may or may not get.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I think one of my bartenders told me or would tell guests, she's like, it's okay to make one bad decision while you're here in New Orleans. I was like, okay, great. The tour starts there at BMC. From BMC, we go and do history. And I like to incorporate the history in there because, you know, we have so many tours where you're just drunkenly walking around doing stuff. And I kind of want to add an element of storytelling as well as historical facts within that. So I give them understanding of history behind the old U.S. Mint, which is the second oldest mint in the United States history. And it's right across the street. Then from there, we also walked to go and see the house that was based in the movie 12 Years a Slave. And, you know, you literally can just walk by. You may not know it. There is a kind of a sign in the middle of the street that says it's the 12 Years a Slave house. But I do like to talk about that because New Orleans has such a huge history. People know of New Orleans as sometimes the, you know, slave capital of the world at one point in time. But even though that was the case, New Orleans did have the most free people of color in the South at the same time. So there's all these different cultures. You had French, Spanish, the Africans, the Haitians, the Italians, all these different people. And I kind of segue from that to telling people how New Orleans created jazz, pretty much.
Wow. First of all, thank you for sharing all of that. Some of that stuff I actually didn't know. So I really appreciate you talking about that. And I think for a lot of people, of course, drinking is fun, right? But I think there is an element to storytelling, but also talking about the history, right? I'm sure a lot of people go on that tour expecting one thing, but coming out totally different. So yeah. I love that. I think that's so fascinating and so interesting.
Sure.
And so I have two more questions before we slowly-ish wrap up. First one, I know you've kind of touched on this throughout the episode, but I'd love to know who's your favorite celebrity artist? Right. And who is your favorite local artist based in New Orleans? And it could be multiple, but wanted to at least bring up one each.
My favorite celebrity artist. I love a lot of different musicians. I still do. I still, you know, yesterday I was transcribing a Wynton Marsalis solo, because Wynton Marsalis is ridiculous. He's amazing at what he does. But I would have to probably think about that a little longer. I probably have like a whole list for you. But but in terms of like local artists I look up to, Mr. Corey Henry. I play in his band, the Treme Funk Tet. And, you know, Corey, he's from the Sixth Ward, New Orleans. That's Treme is the oldest African-American neighborhood in America. And that's where a lot of, you know, some of the best musicians out of New Orleans have come out of, like, you know, you have Trombone Shorty, the Andrews family, all those kind of people came out of the Sixth Ward of New Orleans. But Corey has just a certain attitude, which is so cool. And the way he, you know, plays music is just so confident, simple, straight to the point, and sounds great. Me just being in his band has like made me much better, because, you know, sometimes I say in music, sometimes the simplest stuff is the best stuff, because if you just get to the point, you know, you could go all over the place when you're playing stuff and you play all these notes, but if you just get directly to the essential point, you could make some of the best music out there. So,
wow. That's amazing and so powerful. Thank you for sharing that. And my last question before we really slowly wrap up, it's a question I love to ask at the end of every episode, is how do you want people to feel after they experience any one of your tours with you?
Sure. I want people to be happy. Let's just say it like that. I want them to feel like they essentially saved money going on the tour. The experience should just have so many factors to it that they, you know, they feel like it was well worth their money. I want them to know, you know, I want them to feel like they learned something. I want them to feel like they're happy. And I want them to essentially make friends. That's what I tell people to book this tour when you first get to New Orleans, because it's such a friendly atmosphere that you can literally meet these people on the first day of your tour and you can hang out with them the whole time you're here. If you like them, of course, you know.
Well, so, yeah. But I can't imagine, you know, when I went to New Orleans, I can't imagine people going there with a negative energy, right? I just don't feel New Orleans is that type of place. I think there's a reason that people do bachelorette parties. There's a reason why people get married there. There's so much celebration and joy that I felt in New Orleans that I can only imagine any tourist visiting would feel that energy or even wanting to go there. You hear about Mardi Gras, right? You hear about jazz festival or jazz venues. You read about, you know, how cute the streets are and how beautiful the architecture is. And just Bourbon Street in general, right? If you really want a wild time, there's something for everybody there. And I think the positive energy and people like yourself make visiting New Orleans worthwhile. So I really love that you said that. And Quay, I never like to wrap these up, but I can't thank you enough for talking about Big Easy Walking Tours based out of New Orleans. I have learned so much from you. I love the history aspect, but talking about jazz, it makes me want to listen to it. I'm sure other listeners too will as well. I'd love for you to shamelessly plug away your website, your social media, and most importantly, how can people book an amazing tour with you?
Sure. So you can find us at BigEasyWalkingTours.com. We have an Instagram, and you can find us at Big Easy Walking Tours on Instagram. We also have a YouTube channel. I've been taking a lot of cool videos of us just really just partying. So we basically have been partying and posting it. So you can check us out on YouTube. Look up Frenchman Street Live Music Pub Crawl on YouTube as well. And if you just want to follow me in general and, you know, hang out with me wherever you're at, my Instagram is QuayLive504 as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Quay, for coming on. It's been wonderful to have you.
No, thank you. This is amazing.
Thank you so much for tuning into Travel Experiences Reimagined podcast. Click the subscribe button to learn about a new tour guide or host each week, where you'll find out more about how they got started, talking in detail about their experience, and any fun facts or tips that they'd like to share. Do you have an experience that you would like others to learn about? whether it is a tour, excursion, adventure, or experience, fill out our form online on our website at www.travelexperiencesreimagined.com for a chance to share your story and experience so others can learn more about what you have to offer.